Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to be here with you. Sorry to interrupt your conversations about what you've witnessed, but hopefully that will continue beyond this morning, as we'll talk about in just a minute. So my name is Trevor Kaufman. If you came in a little bit late, I'm the campus pastor here. It's good to be here with you as we conclude today our series, Road Trip, in which we are looking at this big theological, multi-syllable, crazy word, sanctification. And ultimately what that is a journey that we are all on to become more and more like Jesus, to be set apart from the ways of the world and more aligned with the ways of the kingdom of God. And so we've been looking over the course of that through the analogy of a road trip. And I figured I should share some personal road trip stories with you. Now, I was going to do this originally week one, but I was actually out of town on a road trip. And so Sean preached for me, and it was fantastic. I went back and listened to it, and it's great to have a team that can cover when one of us are gone. So we're so excited that we get to be a part of a church like this. And so, but today we're going to continue, and I'm going to share you some stories. So it was probably about 13 years ago. I know that because my wife was pregnant with my youngest child, Kyler, at the time. And so we were coming back from a trip from Florida. I think we were going down there to just hang out and do the typical Florida vacation. We came back, we took a picture in front of the New York State sign, and you'll see this. And so, and as we were taking this picture, we're like, hey, let's like do this. Let's try and visit all 48 states at least by the time Kendall, who is being held by Christy, graduates high school, which she graduates this year. So, over the course of the next several years, we actually embarked on this crazy journey to visit all 48 states. And in the year of 2022, we actually completed that goal. And so this is our little progress chart that we made. So yeah, some of you know that we did this, some of you may not, but it was an incredible experience. We called it the Crazy Kaufman Adventures, spell with a K. You know, Kaufman K. It was great. So our goal and our sort of criteria to qualify a state as visited is that we had to take a picture in front of the state sign, and then we had to go into the state and contribute to the economy in some way, shape, or form. Usually that was like buy a pop or eat lunch there. So I know maybe that's not good enough for some people. Some people will be like, you got to stay overnight in a state. Well, we didn't do that, okay? So there were some states that we were in for about 15 minutes, but we were there, and that's cool. So this is all of this, and I wanted to highlight a few of the pictures in here because you can't see them in detail that are pretty funny. So in 2017, we went and we did like the central states, and we ended up in Colorado. And so Colorado is the picture that's coming up next, which is pretty hilarious because it was like a monsoon outside when we got to the sign. And we're like, we're probably not coming back here anytime soon. We have to take this picture. So we got out, we took the picture, the umbrella inverted inside out. That's not staged. And it was crazy. And you can see we're getting a little older now as well. So we kind of progressed through the years. It's pretty cool for that. So that was a fun experience. And then in 2020, we were supposed to go to the West Coast. But what happened? COVID did. So we couldn't. But the Northeast states, the New England states, were all still open during that. So we changed our plans and we went up there. We ended up in Maine. And so we took a picture in front of the state sign in Maine. And that was during COVID. So we made sure we wore masks at that. So when we looked back at the pictures, we would know what was going on in the world at that time. So there's like several states of New England on this chart that we're all wearing masks in, which is great. And then, and I'm sorry if you're from this state, but then in what was probably the most anticlimactic state to end this journey on, we ended up in Arkansas in 2022. Wonderful state of Arkansas. And again, I'm sorry if you have family or friends or you're from there, but I would have chosen probably a different state to end this whole journey on. Other than that, but that's where we ended. And so we got a bunch of poppers and streamers and we made a big deal about it. Now, interesting side note that you can't see in this picture is that in this moment, we were in about week 3.5 to 4 of this final trip. And it was in that state where we all didn't like each other. Right? I mean, we were just with each other for 24 hours a day for, at this point, 3.5 weeks straight, sleeping in a pop-up camper for the most part, hotels once in a while, and it was just a rough day. And I'm like, can we pull it together to take this picture that we've been working 13 years to get? And so we did. We pulled it together. It was great. It was a fantastic experience. And we got in the back in the van, had a few arguments, and then a couple days later, we were fine again. So, but it was an incredible journey. And we share these stories because it keeps it alive in our hearts. It keeps it alive in our minds. But oftentimes when we share these stories and you share stories of similar experiences that you've had, oftentimes it inspires others to take a similar journey. And we've had many people come to us over the course of the past several years and be like, hey, I saw you guys did this trip out west. Can you give me some pointers? Our family's looking to do that this coming summer. And so we've been able to help people through this. And because of sharing our story, it had inspired other people's to do a similar journey. And when it comes to our relationship and our journey to become more like Jesus, we should be sharing those experiences as well. I mean, the journey that we are all on to become more like Jesus should be the most dramatic and entertaining journey that you could ever imagine, filled with hurdles and obstacles and struggles, but also filled with just extremely exciting moments and adventures. And we should be sharing that with other people as well in hopes to inspire them to enter on to a journey to become more like Jesus. So as we wrap up this series, we are going to look at sanctification, this journey to become more like Jesus, in two aspects. And some of this is overlap from the last few weeks, but we really wanted to dive into these last two points as we sort of conclude our time together with this journey. So we're going to look at both personal and social sanctification, how we personally journey through this process of becoming more like Jesus, and how that impacts those around us and how it makes a difference in them and how we can pull other people along on that journey with us. So we're going to look at that as well. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. You've heard this before. We've mentioned it in this series leading up to this over the course of the past couple weeks. And so we're going to look at it again today, but we're going to look at it in a bit more detail today. Now, just to remind you of the context of this, Jesus has been asked by religious scholars and leaders of the day what the most important commandment is. Moses had 613 commandments given to him by God in the Old Testament. They were still trying to live those out. And they're like, hey, Jesus, you're such a smart guy. What's the most important one? What's the one that we should focus on more than anything else? And he, in his infinite wisdom, responds in a way that they didn't really expect. And he summarizes all of it into this following statement. He says this in verses 29 and 31. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Now, Jesus, even in that moment, is quoting the very passages and scriptures that they're asking about. He's quoting Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 5. In the original Hebrew text, the word strength was not actually included in this because in that language, that word was wrapped into the other words in the dialogue. However, now in Greek or Aramaic, as Jesus is speaking of this, he can pull out and identify the word strength as well. So we're going to look at that in just a minute. But overall, Jesus is stressing the importance that every part of our life needs to be surrendered to following the Lord. Every part of it, every aspect of it. This may sound familiar because last week we talked about displaying all of the fruit of the Spirit in its entirety, not just parts of it or portions of it, but the entire fruit of the Spirit and releasing all of our sinful nature. Impossible apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, but this is what God has called us to do. So we see this language of entirety, all, every, all over the place in what we're looking at. And so here specifically, Jesus is stressing the importance of loving him and others entirely, which is again, it's impossible apart from God. It's impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. So we're going to focus first internally, and then we'll get to the external part of sharing our story, essentially. So first, love God. He tells us to love God in four aspects of our life, which encompasses every part of our life. He starts with this. He tells us to love him with all of our heart. What in the world is our heart? How do we love him with our heart? Well, this comes down to our passions, our desires, our motives, and our intentions. We keep using this word desire throughout this series. Like, where does our desire naturally land? Do we desire the things of the world? Do we desire selfish pleasure or personal success? Or do we desire things of the kingdom of God that have eternal, lasting implications? We often ask ourselves, I asked this question with Paul Gartley a couple times, and I think it actually comes from a pastor, Mark Batterson, I think, pastor in Washington, D.C. What makes you sad, mad, or glad? Often what makes you sad, mad, or glad are the things that drive your motives and your passions and your desires. But do they align with the way of God? Do the same things that break the heart of God break your heart and vice versa? Because if not, maybe we're not in alignment with the Lord as much as we think we are. You see, our desires should be in alignment with the Lord. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are walking in step with the Spirit, our heart's desire should match the Lord's desire. And this means, it doesn't mean like, oh, I feel like I have to do these things or I'm supposed to do these things. It's the things that align with God are things that we naturally want to do. It's not a struggle to do them because they make us happy. They provide joy to us that lasts into eternity. And so it's understanding the difference between the things of the earth that are temporary and the satisfaction that we get from these temporary things in the world and these pleasures that we get from these temporary things versus the things that God offers us that are eternal. So first, we are to love him with all of our heart. Second, we are to love him with all of our soul. How in the world do we intentionally love God with our soul? I look at it this way. Really, our soul is connected to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural connection that we have with our Heavenly Father, our Creator. And it comes down to what it is we are worshiping in this life. And to give you a brief definition of what worship is, we worship whatever we place our highest value on. And what we place our highest value on is what we allow to rule and give order to our day. So our days will look a lot different if we are worshiping our job or our career. Our days will look a lot different if we are worshiping our relationships. Our days will look a lot different if we are worshiping our own personal success. None of those things in and of themselves are bad. We should put energy and effort into our jobs. We should focus on our relationships and put time and energy into them. There's nothing wrong with living a successful life. But when those things step in the way and get in the way and become walls between you and God, they have become then an idol. And it's very easy to create our career into an idol, to turn our relationships into an idol, or to turn our own personal success or our own personal health into an idol, which we'll get into in just a minute. Are we putting up walls between ourselves and God with our worship of earthly man-made scenarios, or are we worshiping the one who actually created them? I think oftentimes we get so caught up in worshiping the created that we forget to worship the Creator. And this is what we do when we worship the Lord, when we love the Lord with all of our soul, we are worshiping him entirely. And through that, it impacts our career and our relationships and our personal lives. So we worship and love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and next is all of our mind. And this one is challenging. This one's challenging for me because I think it's the easiest to slip down a slippery slope with, right? I mean, we get into this mindset and this thought process that, I'm just thinking about it, so it's not really a big deal. The enemy can easily enter into our minds and fill it with darkness, with lies, with evil, and with lustful thoughts. And us, with this excuse of it's just a thought, it doesn't matter, I'll continue thinking about it, and it will often derail us on this journey of becoming more like Jesus. And those thoughts often will skew what it is we're actually worshiping and what drives our motives and our intentions and our desires when it comes to loving God with all of our heart. The mind is a powerful place, and the mind can actually be like a playground for both the enemy and the Holy Spirit. Now, the enemy cannot enter into you if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, but the lies externally, the oppression that you can feel from the enemy is real and there. And so we need to have the wisdom to be able to discern between those things. And so it's almost like the cartoon of a demon on a shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder kind of speaking into you like what you should or shouldn't do. It's the discernment as to figuring out what that is. But sometimes it's hard to navigate what's of God and what isn't. But again, we cannot fill ourselves with this thought process that, well, I'm only thinking about it. Jesus himself actually calls that out specifically in Matthew 5:27-28, where he teaches that even thinking about somebody else lustfully is committing adultery in and of itself. He raises the bar of the Old Testament 613 laws to a level that is almost impossible to even fulfill apart from the Holy Spirit. And so we cannot fall for the lie that, oh, I'm only thinking about it. But I think it's something that we very easily can fall into. No matter how deep of a follower of Jesus we can, there's always thoughts that enter into our minds that we know probably shouldn't be there. So how do we protect ourselves from those? We need to fill our minds with things of God. We need to fill our minds by praying and having a conversation with him on a regular basis. We need to fill our minds with diving into scripture and internalizing what we read. We need to fill our minds with being around like-minded people who follow Jesus and can hold us accountable for the things that we are doing in our lives. We need to fill our minds with being in services like this. This is a powerful way to fill your mind with the things of God. Maybe it's watching The Chosen or listening to a podcast of a local pastor or a national pastor that you appreciate, right? It doesn't always have to just be what takes place here. The more we fill our minds with the things of the Lord, the more we will naturally think of the things of the Lord. That whole phrase like garbage in, garbage out is true. I mean, the more we allow garbage into our minds, the more we listen to music that's filled with anger and anxiety and toxicity, the more that's going to naturally start to flow out of us. The more we spend in places that we know are not of God, and we know that they're starting to actually impact us. Yes, God wants us to go out into places that need him and be an influence to other people. But we know when we hit that moment, we're like, okay, it's influencing me now in a negative way. We need to be careful of these things. All of these things can implement and affect our minds. So we need to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then lastly, we need to love him with all of our strength. And yes, this is our physical bodies. It matters what we do with our physical bodies. A lot of times we use this excuse like, it's just a temporary shell. I'm going to get a new one later. We absolutely are going to get a new, perfectly resurrected body when Jesus comes back a second time and makes everything perfect and whole. But in the time being, we have this body, this shell that he wants us to take care of. Why? Because it is currently the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. It's living in you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is living in you. You can look back at the Old Testament and you see all of the care and the specifications and all of the instructions given to build to Moses, the tabernacle that would travel through the wilderness with the Israelites that would house the Spirit of the Lord. And then eventually, through King David, God gives the blueprints for the permanent temple that Solomon is going to build. And he builds this magnificent structure made from gold and silver and bronze and fine linen. And he builds this incredible creation for the Spirit of the Lord to reside in Jerusalem. But then all of a sudden, all of that stuff is eventually gone. Jesus comes into the world and takes all of humanity's sin upon his shoulders, dies on the cross so we don't have to experience the punishment that we all deserve anyway. Then he defeats death, raises from the grave, ascends into heaven, and leaves his very Spirit to dwell within all of us. And so now it no longer dwells in a physical location, but it dwells within you and me. And so all of that care and that beauty and that honor that was given to those physical locations, now that care is given to our bodies. So we should take care of our bodies. Now, we don't want it to turn into an idol, right? We don't want to be like sitting in that moment where like, I cannot eat a single other thing right now, or I'm going to, you know, it's okay to like watch what you eat and count your calories, however. But if it becomes an issue where you can't get past the day, or you go into some sort of a depression if you eat one extra calorie that day, there's probably an issue that you need to work on. Or if working out is a complete order of your day where you have to do this, 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 and this, and you can't function without doing that, then it's become an issue, right? We are to take care of our bodies. We should work out. We should exercise. We should eat right. Absolutely. But we need to look and see, is this becoming an idol or is this just me living a healthy lifestyle? Okay? Any of these things can be skewed down the road into idolatry. But we want to take care of ourselves in a proper and powerful way. So all of that to say, it's pretty clear that Jesus wants us to love him with all of our being. This idea of personal sanctification, this journey that we take alone. However, each of those commands could essentially be lived out in complete isolation. But is that what God wants from us? To perfectly love him in isolation? You see, if we jump back onto this road trip analogy that we've been using, it's one thing to go on a trip or experience some adventure in life or a vacation or whatever that may be, and then just keep it to yourself. But nobody wants to do that. We're always taking pictures and posting on social media and sharing our experiences, like I mentioned at the beginning, because we want to kind of show off what we were able to do, and hopefully somebody else wants to do something similar, right? We want to do that same thing with our relationship with Jesus Christ, but we can't do it if we keep it all bottled up inside. There's an interesting story in a book that we've referenced a few times in this series called Be Holy. The book is written by several different authors writing different chapters. And in the chapter written by Robert Black, he shares the story of a man by the name of Simon Stylites. I'm going to read this portion and then I'll just generally explain what he was doing. Simon was a monk who sought holiness in the solitude of the Syrian desert, miles from civilization. The world was corrupt, he reasoned, and if he remained in contact with the world, it could corrupt him. So he escapes away into the desert to live away and apart from any other human beings, any form or source of civilization. He's living secluded in this desert, and he's being all that he can be for Jesus. He's loving God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. People are now getting word of this, and so they want to go visit him. They're like, what is this guy doing? We want to see how this is all taking place. How is he doing this? How is he living? Like, what does this look like? We just want to see. We're curious. So more and more people came to him. But he's like, when they start to come to him, he's like, hey, you got to stay away from me. You're going to corrupt me if you get any closer to me. Stay away from me. People keep coming. He starts building a tower higher and higher to escape them. Can you imagine being so afraid of other people that you build a tower to stay away from them? And so he was doing everything he could to be as pure as possible. And so when it comes down to this passage that we just read in Mark, he could essentially perfectly execute the first half of Mark chapter 12. He could love God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength, but it would be impossible for him to ever live out any of the second half, to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't have any neighbors. He stayed away from them. They were the enemy to him. He wasn't getting the full picture, but we are expected to do both, love God and love others. And so we move into the love others. Now, we may not be to the extreme of this monk in the desert, but I think a lot of times we sort of fall into the similar trap. We're like, well, I'm taking all of this information in. I'm attending church on a regular basis, if not a couple times a week. I go to every program they offer. I read my Bible every day. I pray to God. All of these things are good. Absolutely good. We just talked about the fact that we need to do them all, but then it stops there. We do all of these things. We worship the Lord with everything. But then at times, all of our coworkers don't even know we know Jesus. Or the people that you go to school with have no idea that you're a follower of Christ. Or the people in your community have no clue that you love Jesus. Now, hopefully, if you're doing all of those things, naturally your desires are going to start to shift and change like we already talked about. And you're going to do these things. But I know I've met with people who have fallen into this trap, and it's easy to do, right? You just take it all in. You take it in, take it in, take it in. But then you don't do anything with it. And it's kind of hard to say this, but here's the reality. Learning to be like Jesus is meaningless if we don't actually be like Jesus. We can learn all day long, but if we don't put it into action, what difference does it make? Yes, your relationship was great, but God desires so much more for you. He wants to use you to expand his kingdom. Learning to be like Jesus is meaningless if we don't actually be like Jesus. We see this demonstrated all throughout Scripture, especially with the early church in Acts. We saw them care for one another, pray for one another, share meals with one another, share resources with one another on a regular basis. And it's not something they did because they felt like they had to do it or a checklist they had to check. They simply wanted to do it because they understood the power of Jesus in their life and they wanted to share it with others. And guess what? As they did that, more and more people came into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because they lived together. They loved God and they loved each other, and they loved others outside of their walls, and people came into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of that. That's what God wants from us. We have several ways for you to get involved around here, to step into the process of sharing your story. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not even really in a relationship with Jesus yet. You haven't really entered onto this highway that we're talking about yet, and that's okay. I'm just glad you're here and you haven't gotten up and left yet. You're here, you're listening, and I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and opening your heart and mind to hear from him, not me, him. But maybe you have entered that highway. We talked about initial sanctification that first week. And if you haven't gotten one of these, you can still grab one of these and you can go back and listen online if you want to fill in all these blanks. And there's a reading plan here you can connect with. But this idea of initial sanctification, when you acknowledge that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you've entered into this highway. But then do you just sort of sit? Are you stuck, like we've talked about in the past, in the chair, even in this service here? We would love for you to step outside of your comfort zone and serve even around here. It's a great way to start learning and understanding what it means to share your story. We have a variety of needs around here, always on a regular basis. We could use people to help greet others as they walk in the door. We could use people on the security team. We could use people on the worship team and the sound booth. We could use people to help landscape around here. Some of you have stepped up for that already, but we have such a beautiful campus. It could be even more beautiful if we put time and energy into it more than we do. And so, but we need people to help with that, right? People help lead groups. We talked about the last couple of weeks. A variety of ways to get involved. If you want to serve in some way, maybe you don't even know how, you just want to have a conversation, you can just text the word serve to the church number. We've been using that over the course of the past few weeks with community groups, and now we're using it for this. Just text the word serve to that number, and it will ask you what campus you're from, and I'll be able to connect with you in some way, shape, or form to see if we can just get you plugged in some way. We're looking at actually expanding our children's ministry in the fall, hopefully. We're going to have a meeting right after service today to discuss the first stages of this, but our fourth and fifth graders, we feel like we should split out from the elementary to give them more direct attention. And so we're looking and brainstorming ideas how to do that. And so, but in order to make that happen, we need other people to help guide and direct and lead. So people are stepping up again, but there's always places to help and to serve. So just a variety of options. There's a few examples. You can text serve to that number to get more information. In addition to that, serving within the church is a safe and relatively easy place to serve, but it also equips you and empowers you to serve outside the walls of the church. In our community, specifically here at South Creek, we partner with Operation Good Neighbor. I talk about them almost every week now at this point. It's a phenomenal food and clothing pantry that works across the street on Tuesdays to distribute food to about 140 families a week. It's incredible, but they need help distributing that food. They need help going to get that food earlier in the week. They need help packing that food up to be distributed. There's a variety of ways that you can help out even within the community, and you can always just find me. We can even talk about it if you text serve to the number. In addition to that, outside the community walls, we have an option to serve in the city of Buffalo this summer with 8 Days of Hope. It's a wonderful organization that kind of adopts a community of Buffalo each summer, and then they pour into that specific community through local churches in that community and other areas and ministries in that community in a variety of ways. And so it takes place from the 20th to the 27th. Revive is going to actually go there as a church to help on the 24th, and then the youth are going to go from the 20th through the 22nd. So just a variety of ways to get involved. If you volunteer for 3 days for that, and it costs nothing to volunteer, they feed you, they give you everything you need. If you volunteer for 3 days, I believe they give you tickets to Kingdom Mount as well. So just a really, really great experience, and it's for anybody. You may be like, oh, I can't do that. I don't have the ability to. I'm not a good, construction worker. It's not that. That's part of it. But you maybe are good at doing laundry, folding laundry. They need help with that. Maybe you like to serve food or make food. They need help with that. Paint fence, side of house, roof of house, landscape, anything. You name it, they probably have a need for it. So just consider that this summer. We're looking to really make an impact there and partner with some other churches in that ministry, specifically our church on July 24th. So you'll hear more about that. All of these are ways in which we can share our story in tangible and easy ways, which is Jesus' ultimate greatest commandment. He says this in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is key right there. He is with you always, in the highs and in the lows, in the celebrations and excitement and adventures, and in the struggles and the hurdles, in the moments of sadness and grief we experience. He is there. We can't do anything that we've talked about this morning or this entire series apart from him. But he doesn't want us to just experience these things internally. Yes, he wants that. but then he wants us to share that with other people as well. We cannot fulfill this commandment if we are stuck in this personal mindset, personal sanctification. We are commanded to love God and love others, and ideally, this should be something we naturally desire to do. This road trip analogy has been fun to work through and fun to use and fun to share stories with, but the analogy in and of itself is not really a life or death situation. But the expansion of the kingdom of God is dependent on the citizens of the kingdom of God. You and I, if we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, living this all out and sharing our story with others. As we've highlighted over the course of the past month, again, we've looked at the first week, we looked at all of the stages of sanctification, these big, deep theological words that, again, you can find online, or you can listen to the message, or find me and I'll fill it in for you. We looked at all of these, but then when we enter into this, we move forward on a journey. And as we're on this journey, the week two, we looked at different talking points or points that we need to make sure we remain focused on what this is all about, the fact that it's about Jesus, it's about being like Jesus, and it's about loving like Jesus loved. And then last week, we looked at mile markers of the fruit of the Spirit and the dashboard warning indicator lights on our dashboard, which is our sinful nature that we need to be aware of and release entirely and embody all of the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at that last week. And then as we do this, as we progress on this adventure and on this journey, we are to share it with other people. It doesn't mean you have to go to your community or your workplace or your neighborhood and start preaching Jesus to them. But you can speak Jesus, even in the ways that you interact with them, by not simply being afraid that you are in a relationship with Jesus. And when conversations arise and that comes up, you're not afraid to tell them that. You don't need to force it. The Holy Spirit is with you. We just talked about that. We just read that. And the Holy Spirit will open those doors and opportunities for you. So I want to ask you just a couple questions as we close and wrap up this entire series. We've asked the first one many times already. Where are you on this journey? Have you even entered it yet? And that's okay if you haven't. Or have you entered it and you're just stuck? Or are you progressing along? And what are you doing with that? The follow-up question is this. If you're on this journey of becoming more like Jesus, do people even know it? Can you look and think of the influence and the circle of influence that you have in your everyday life? Do people even know you're on this journey? Or have you kept it all to yourself? I think that's sometimes a challenging question to answer, even for myself. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I stand up here. This is what I do. It's like what I'm supposed to do. But I've been in the communities. I've been in different places, and I know that I was supposed to say something or do something, and I just didn't do it. I'm like, ah, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will say it. And I stayed quiet. I'm just as guilty of it. And so I'm learning how to become more and more like Jesus each and every day, as I hope you are as well. Because we, South Creek, are on this journey together with the power of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing us every step, every mile of the way. Thanks for journeying through this with us. I'm so excited to see what God is going to continue to do as we all take steps further into becoming more and more like Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are with us on this journey, that you have called us to so much more, that you want this for us, not from us, but for us. Allow us to understand the reality of that. Lord, if we're struggling with whether or not this is something we even want to enter into, I pray that your Spirit would communicate to those hearts in this room in ways that I can't. And those that are stuck, I pray that you would allow them to feel a sense of urgency and a nudging to move forward at least one step, maybe getting up out of their seat to serve in some way, even within the walls of this church. But regardless of where we are on this journey, let us know that it is you who is guiding and directing us, and it's all about you. So whether it's with our physical words or the way that we act, we ask and pray that we speak your name everywhere we go. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you and ask all of this in that very powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand as we sing and worship that very truth right now.